Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. I'm Mike Haas, along with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, along with Bobby Hebert. And Coach Moore, you get a bye week, just not from me and Bobby. Everything else is a bye, but you still get us. I hope you had some time off and got a little chance to get recharged.
Yeah, it was great for all of our players, coaches. Chance to kind of reflect, self-evaluate, and get ready to go.
Well, you did better than Sean Payton. Sean Payton would never come after a bye. Coach Moore, I give big props to you showing up, because Sean would say, well, we don't have a game to talk about. Why are we having a coach's show? I don't know. Try to be diplomatic and all. But looking where you're at right now, just talk about to the fans how it feels to lead a team. And then I know as a player, boy, you surely feel better about yourself. I don't know. It's human nature when you go into a bye with a win. It's a better presence in the locker room, just how you wake up in the morning, go about your business. So to come off a win, and obviously you want to build upon that after a bye, but I'm sure when you look at it that you would like to be kind of like Coach Andy Reid. Now, it didn't happen this particular game. When you look, okay, what do you do after a bye? Are you having success? Or are you not having are you going to be successful? When I look at Andy Reid, I'm looking at my notes. He had some ridiculous record that was unbelievable after a bye, but then the Broncos put it to him. So the point being, what do you sell to the players? And as far as yourself, maybe getting to spend a little more time with your family and all that, but it's still back to business. And the bottom line is that the next game, hey, we got to find a way to win.
Yeah, no question. Bye weeks come, unfortunate times sometimes. And so for us to come out of it with a win, obviously felt like that was a momentum building opportunity for us and foundation setting. And so that was a big win for us. We needed that. We needed to create this momentum moving forward. Bye weeks are all about recharging. It's not necessarily relaxing all the time, but it's recharging. It's, recharging your body and, physically and mentally and a chance for us to, scout ourselves, evaluate where we're at and where we need to go. And so I feel like there's a lot of urgency, a lot of juice and excitement with what's moving forward. We got a bunch of really exciting opportunities moving forward.
Now, Coach Moore, when you look at it, that as far as scoring points, the way the league is set up, I know if you had a scoring defense that would allow 20 or fewer points, you would say, like, well, hell yeah, we got to win. We got to find a way to win those kind of games. But even though, we took care of business, bottom line, did you win or lose the game? And, scoring only 17 points against Carolina, that was good enough to win. But fifth consecutive output below 20 points, and you're one of four teams that have failed to eclipse 30 points in a game this season, yet a season high of 26. So to me, I think you can run the table, and then you put pressure on the defense where we score, let's say, 23 or more. So I think, when you observe the team and you break down, you self-scout and all, what would be a key maybe to scoring 20-some points a game going forward?
Yeah, no question. I think that's certainly something that is a growth opportunity for us. We've been close, but we're not close enough. And so we got some great opportunities moving forward to get this thing going, especially from an offense perspective, create some continuity there, have a little bit more success. I think a lot of it comes down to situational football. When you're down the red zone, you got to score points. When you got third downs, hard downs, you got to be able to convert some of those, extend drives. And then I think you fold it all the way back to simply first and second down football. And that's when you know, when we're at our best, when most teams in this league are at their best, they're able to run the football and play in the play action game and kind of play those mixed downs on first and second down. And felt like we had a little bit of a taste of that this past week or past two weeks ago against Carolina, and that's got to continue.
Coach, can you kind of talk a little bit more just about the self-scouting? I mean, you go back through all the games, and I think you said this afternoon it's kind of run by your coordinators, at least they kick it off. And do you look at even as far as, you know, play calling both sides of the football? Like, are you creating tendencies that – I say you, I mean the team – that other teams can exploit? I mean, it's I guess it's just a – tell me a little bit more about self-scouting.
Yeah, you do it throughout the season. You know, each and every week you're trying to kind of keep a close eye on what you're doing and what the opponents are doing to you, and so you understand what's coming, because they're going to watch your film, and, you know, if you have an issue, they're going to keep trying to exploit that issue until you address it. And so that's something that continues throughout the season. But I think bye weeks give you kind of that full week. It's kind of a deep dive, you know, go a little bit further, analyze it a little bit further. You know, each coach tends to have a little bit of responsibility within the game plan, you know, that they kind of tee up, so to speak. And so it's really a great opportunity for all three phases just to kind of look at it. Hey, this is what we're good at. We feel good about these things. Let's keep incorporating these, keep embracing those. And then where are our growth opportunities? Where are the things that we need to improve upon? And you kind of allow yourself to use all that data to collect, you know, some really valuable information.
You know, Coach Moore, when I saw this, it's not necessarily always the trust factor, but it does matter somewhat. And that, can you convert on third down? Then therefore, you look at time of possession, and you're dictating the ebb and flow of the game. But this what caught my attention more than anything is that Tyler Shough was able to throw the ball four times in third and long situation. And that, you know, third and long is like third and 7 or more yards to convert a third down. And he was able to do that. And you look at the yards that he put up. That right there speaks volumes. 7 of his 10 throws on third downs against the Panthers went for 201 yards, passer rating 152. His 201 yards passing on third down were the more than 14 other NFL teams that weekend, entire game that, you know, that week, I should say. But if he does that, we ain't losing the game. We're going to run the table. I mean, if we don't turn it over, and we're on the plus side. If he produces like that, you can't help but win.
Yeah, I thought, you know, third downs are hard downs, as we always like to call them. They're not easy. But, you know, when you talk about, hey, we want to control the time of possession, we want to score more points, we want to extend drives, you know, a lot of it comes down to, you know, being able to execute on some hard downs on third downs. And credit to our guys collectively, the perimeter guys, certainly Tyler making some plays in there. And those had huge impacts on that game. And, you know, you're not going to convert 100% of your third downs. But, you know, when you're above 40, more around that 50% range, you know, you're having really good outings on Sundays.
Need to take our first break. When we come back, we'll have more with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, his first foray into the Saints versus Falcons rivalry. You are listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. I'm Mike Haas along with Bobby Hebert. And Coach, I mean, it is what it is. You play who against you play, that being whether it's Michael Penix, that's not going to be. Penix was put on IR today, so he'll be out. But You get Kirk Cousins, you get a veteran. He's been there a while, played in the third quarter against Carolina. I mean, you play against whoever it is, but they're different cats, Michael Penix Jr. and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, no question. I think, obviously they're different quarterbacks. They've had different experiences. And, I think for them, fortunate to have Kirk available, for the circumstance that they're in. And so Kirk's played a ton of football in this league, had a ton of success. He's going to do a really good job for them. And so it's still going to be certainly a big challenge for us when we play these guys.
You know, Coach Moore, when you look at it, I can tell you right now we're not going to win if you let Bijan Robinson run all over us. Because Kirk Cousins, the veteran that he is, play action and all that. You know how that goes hand in hand, how we're able to stuff Doddle when you think about it. He only averaged 2.9 yards a carry. So the question I have for you, how involved are you with Coach Staley, Brandon Staley, as far as when you're playing now Cousins versus Penix? Obviously you want to be filled in and what we're doing defensively. But I know it just seems that you could be the casual football fan that we cannot let Atlanta run all over us. And then you have London, look at that weapon. Like that'd be like Chris Olave's out for us. And then London not playing. So the one thing, wouldn't you say that, okay, guys might be on an island now and then, it's not 100%, but we have to stop the run. And we were able to do that against Carolina. We only gave up 3.2 yards a carry. And if that continues, if we do that defensively, stopping the run, then I think that's a winning formula.
No question. Bijan's had a huge impact on each and every game. He's a big-time player. He's one of the best running backs in this league for a reason. His ability to play in the run game, but also the pass game, he's a threat there. And so he's gonna have a huge impact in this game. So we got to do everything we can to limit the explosive plays in particular with him. He can change games quickly. It'll be a fun challenge for our guys. I think our guys will be excited about it. Obviously they had a challenge going to Carolina coming out of the LA game where, they were going to run the football, and we were able to play pretty well up there. And so hopefully we can carry some of that momentum into this one.
Coach Moore, the one thing I got to give it to you, that you've been even keel. I'm way too emotional. You're more even keel. And the bottom line is you got to win. But I think how the players respect you. I think they remain motivated, even though you look at our record. But, what have you done for me lately? Well, we won lately. And then when you look at Carolina, they're 6-5. They completed a sweep of an NFC South rival in Atlanta. So you have to look at us going forward. Now, human nature is like fans. They're like, Bobby, I wish our coach might be more passionate or aggressive. I say, well, he is passionate, but he's not a clone of Sean Payton. You can't put him in a box, and he can't be who he's not. And that just sometimes your demeanor. But as long as your players respond to you, I said, you can't fake the funk. You got to be who you are. And wouldn't that be the right assessment of yourself and how you deal with the team? They go, I wish he would holler more or yell at the players. But I don't know if that's going to win. The bottom line is I know you have to win. I don't know what he does behind closed doors in the meeting rooms or in front of the team. But everyone's not the same. You have to be true to yourself. Is that a correct assessment of how I look upon you and that you're going to go about what has brought you success in life to be a coach, and I'm going to take that approach and just go forward with that?
Yeah, every coach comes with different exposures, different backgrounds, different experiences. I think it's really important to be yourself so you can allow yourself to be consistent. I think guys understand, recognize how important it is. You have to be consistent each and every week through the season. These NFL seasons have ups and downs, and unfortunately we've navigated too many downs, but we're going to get some ups here moving forward. And I just think the world of how our guys responded at Carolina. For some of our veterans, the guys who've been through a lot of challenging circumstances the last few years, and for them to keep responding the way they did, for Cam to play the way he did, for DeMario to play Alvin, it speaks volumes, I think, to those guys, their commitment to our program and how hard they're battling. And, the young guys, I think, are rallying really well right behind those guys. And so I'm excited with where we're going. I'm excited with the opportunities ahead of ourselves, and it'll be a ton of fun to see.
Coach, when we talk often about like explosive plays or third down, it's usually kind of about offense. Not enough explosives on offense. Can't get our third down percentage better, but certainly week 10 was not that. You were 8-17 on third down, but I want to talk just in general about the defense. Carolina was 3-9 on third down. And from an explosive standpoint, if you look at the Rams game, the Rams had five explosives. Chicago the week before that, they had five explosives. But Carolina had one 26-yard play explosive. Just the impact of your defense getting off the field and limiting explosives.
Yeah, I thought it was just an excellent example of team defense, all 11 being working well together, being coordinated, being assignment sound. That team, Carolina, has created some explosive plays, certainly in the last few weeks, with their run game. You know, for us to come out of that game, and Rico's got one run that's 14 yards. The receiver's got one receiving pass that's 26 yards. And outside of that, we kept a lid on everything. And so credit to our guys. I thought combination of rush, coverage, first and second down run defense, it just tied really well together, and the turnover snuck in there, and so those are big time game changing opportunities, and so we certainly have created a formula that hopefully we can replicate moving forward.
Coach Moore, I guess you do truly take it one at a time, but I remember going into Carolina game, I'm like, shoot, this is like a conference play, or like you look at Saudi State conference game. I'm just looking at college now, but when you look at NFC South, four of the next five games are division games. And you look, I already mentioned that that Carolina has swept the Falcons. And here you got to play the Falcons twice. You still have Carolina one more time. You got Tampa Bay one more time. So, it's always, I think the owners have put an emphasis on this, that what do you do in your division? I think it should be overall record, but if you win your division, you have a chance to host a game. But with that being said, I'm not saying you're controlling your own destiny. You take it one week at a time. But, it's like, hey, look, it's like two for one when you're playing in the NFC South, and the Falcons happen to be the next game. And I know it does matter when you play a team. And then I'm looking at Tyler Shuck, his first experience at home. I know one thing, I don't know if you felt like this, Coach Moore, but I can remember I almost felt like, man, I'd rather sometimes play on the road. I don't know if it's human nature, where it's like us against the world. That kind of motivated me. And sometimes when you're playing at home in the dome, that you might be pressing because you want to play so good for the home folks that you maybe not footloose and fancy free. What have you told Tyler Shuck now? He's got a meaningful game that counts, and it's a division game, but you're playing in front of the home folks in the dome.
Yeah, I think starting with the division game, we know the stats, we know the history. I think everyone understands the impact that division games have on, the path to the playoffs. Winning the division is the first and most important opportunity you have to get into the playoffs. And so many times, like you said, these games, you can view them as they count as almost two games. It's in a division opponent, and it's obviously your game. And so, big time opportunities. We've played two of them. We're 1-1. We got four more division games. It says a lot about the type of team you are and where you're going with how you play these division games, because these teams you're going to play year in and year out, multiple times, home and away. They're going to have huge impacts on our program. And so, this will be an exciting opportunity for Tyler. First game, at home starting against the Falcons, big time opportunity here. It'll be a ton of fun. And so, I think he'll be excited about it, just as all of our other guys are. It's been a little while since we've been back at home. And so it'll be fun.
Need to take another break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the Atlanta game, which, by the way, is at 3:25. It's a Fox game. Drew Brees will be part of the announcing team. So be pretty cool to have him back in the building and hopefully get a victory with Tyler Shuck as well. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints Head Coach Kellen Moore, back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back, and now moving on to next week, which we've already been talking about next week, but brought to you by John Fayard, Moving and Warehousing, first in service. The Falcons lost against Carolina. They've lost five in a row. They had beaten Buffalo on Monday night to get to 3-2, and then they've lost their last three, one by 1 point, and the last two in overtime. Kind of going to, if you look at this series, 55, 56, depending on if you want to count the postseason. But in the last eight games against Atlanta, five of them have been decided 3 points or less. I mean, you don't just walk in. You're a young man. You don't just dislike Atlanta. So where do you get your history about this rivalry?
Yeah, no question. I think I'm excited about this. I think the more you're around everyone in the organization and the building, certainly the players have played so many awesome battles against these guys. You learn the rich history of this game, and so it's going to be a huge impact. It's going to be a ton of fun playing this first one at home in particular. These guys have played a bunch of close games late, and for whatever reason, you know, they've missed their opportunities, and they've lost a couple in overtime, and so they'll obviously be itching for a win. They need one just as much as we do.
You know, Coach Moore, I can tell you about the rivalry. It's the most college-like. I remember an old Fulton County Stadium playing. But it's like a SWAC rivalry. Bobby, what are you talking about, SWAC rivalry? No, I'm telling you, it's the most African-American New Orleans-Atlanta rivalry that you don't see around the country. That's the truth. I'm telling you, I've been around a lot of brothers, and I'm telling you, in New Orleans-Atlanta, Atlanta, New Orleans, a lot of New Orleanians live in Atlanta, and they're successful. This game is a SWAC game. You know, Grambling Southern. Look, they put that on NBC. They play in the Superdome. I'm telling you, this game, not nowhere else in the country, this is a swag-type game, college-type atmosphere, where everyone wants to brag and write. So I'm not trying to put more pressure on you, Coach Moore, but I'm just telling you that you got to win this game because you're from the Northwest, and I'm trying to help you out here, that it means that much. And I played for both teams, and I know it. I was just a mercenary, a hired gun, but I know the roots of this and what it takes. I can remember when the Saints were irrelevant, and you know when fans would come up and say, I don't know what you're going to do the rest of the season, or, well, you know, are we going to win anything? This before we won in 1987, they'd be like, you got to beat Atlanta twice. And then when I was in Atlanta, the brothers in Atlanta say, I don't care what you do, you got to beat the Saints. And I was fortunate the majority of the time to be on the winning teams, whether it was New Orleans or Atlanta. So I know what this means. I know what it takes. So I'm just telling you, you win this game against Atlanta, or you sweep Atlanta like Carolina did this season, that'll go a long way to people giving you hugs and appreciation.
I love it. Well, we're excited about this one. We're going to go for it here, and this will be a ton of fun getting after this game.
Coach Moore, you know how you're saying evaluating where you're at and you're self-scouting. Fans have brought this up to me. We cannot afford this to be an Achilles heel, like what happened in the Seattle game, our special teams. And I know you're aware of that, flipping the field, the hen yardage, and what you got to achieve on special teams. You know, Blake Gruby got off to a slow start, and he was unbelievable in training camp, but he's more consistent as of late. That could be whether you're winning or losing, just how you play on special teams now after the bye week.
Yeah, no question. I think an important aspect for us is, that special teams, it can make such a difference in these games, the field position, the game-changing plays. I feel like we've made some positive strides there. I thought this past game we had some really, really good, tackling in the special teams game. I thought, Stahlberg, Chris Rump, Danny Stutzman, all those guys had huge tackles in the kick and punt units and had a huge impact on the field position.
Coach, are there at this juncture, there's 10 games in, everybody's got tape of everybody else. Are there new plays or are there just wrinkles of plays that you've run? You've just adjusted them, but are there flat out new plays for week 12?
Yeah, I think you're always evolving. You're always, obviously time is at a different scale at this time of year, just the amount of practice volume you have and some of those things. But there's always nuances. You're always evolving. I think it's important that you need to keep evolving. Every week's going to be a different challenge. You're going to go into the week viewing it as a big-time challenge, and you got to find the solutions as you go. And so while some of those may be things you've done in the past, sometimes you got to be willing to, put yourself in some different situations that hopefully create some really, really good advantages for us.
Now, Coach Moore, when I look at the two other areas, obviously we've gotten better. You can't have inopportune penalties. You never want 9 penalties or more, or like 100 yards worth of penalties. It's like giving up a touchdown. That's an old stat that I can remember coaches just preaching in my head and the whole team. So how do you work, though, with the bye week and that your alignment? We can't have no pre-snap penalties. Everybody has to know what the hell they're doing, and we can't have a stupid penalty. Where we can we on the back end after the bye week? Now, you can have an effort penalty, whether it's interference or at times maybe what's a hold or not a hold. But those pre-snap penalties, that's self-discipline, that's discipline within the team. Did you address that? I think you have. I'm just asking you. And then lack of concentration. If it hits your hands, catch it. No drops. just address those two issues as far as maybe inopportune penalties or even drops, because that could kill drives right there.
Yeah, I think it's something that we've spent a lot of time in particular. We put a ton of emphasis on the theme of details and fundamentals. Certainly the last few weeks, I think we've seen a lot of strides made there. Penalties has a huge impact on games, as we see. You know, you even go back to last night's game in Philly, when you watch that game on TV. The pre-snaps we got to be able to control. We had two of them in our game against Carolina with an offsides, which was unfortunate. Brzee, was close to being maybe still on onside. The false start, and then, the roughing the passer ones were unfortunate. And then you got some judgment ones, which we know some of those will pop up with a hold or a penalty, defense pass interference here and there. But, we just got to play with great detail, great fundamentals, and that gives you the path to have a ton of success in this league.
Well, Coach, we told you it wasn't a bye week with Bobby, and I even kept you a little late. So we appreciate your time. Get a good taste of this Atlanta rivalry, and the best taste is a victory. So stack them together and keep it going.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, we will talk with Jay Rogers. He's the Edge Rushers defensive line coach in his first year here in New Orleans. So Jay Rogers coming up next here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. Mike Haas here as well. And now welcoming to the show, Jay Rogers, who is the Edge Rushers defensive line coach for the Saints. Coach, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So just kind of before we kind of get too deep into it, just give us a sentiment. Obviously, edge rushers, we get it. But like in this evolution of moving with Brandon Staley to a 3-4, like who's in the room? Who's in your edge rusher room?
Well, the guys that are in the room, obviously they play out on the edge of the defensive front. But you got Carl Granderson, you got Chase Young, Cam Jordan, Chris Rump, you got Fidel Diggs. And so those are the guys that have primarily been playing for us this year. So those are the guys that are in my room.
Now, Jay, talking about edge players, probably your background, I would think, would be like 3-4. But if you coach an edge players, what would be the difference? And then you can maybe elaborate on your background, like 3-4 versus 4-3. Because a 3-4 outside linebacker, you might have the same responsibilities, but different than a 4-3 defensive end. Because you could consider a 4-3 defensive end as an edge guy, you got to set the edge, or a 4-3 outside linebacker, whether you're strong or weak side. So explain that to the fans.
Yeah, really, at the end of the day, in base defense, we have five guys up on the line of scrimmage. And in a traditional 4-3 team, they have four guys up there. And so we'll cover up more offensive linemen than what a traditional 4-3 team will actually do. So you have two guys on the edge, you have three guys inside, two stack backers, and a traditional 3-4 defense. And so the assignments are a little bit more different than they are in a 4-3. All four of those guys in a 4-3 would be moving forward. And what we like to do is both edge guys are being taught the same things, but we're going to put people in the right spots, and occasionally we'll want to drop one of those guys to get our seven-man coverage. So it goes a little bit, it's a little bit different, because usually in a 4-3 defense, all four guys will be moving forward, but usually they'll have three stacked backers. So there's a little bit more space on the inside in a 4-3 than there is in, I guess you could say, 5-2, 3-4. It's the same thing.
You know, Coach Rogers, this goes a long way. You network in the trust factor. And I think maybe it could be somewhat your association. I don't know. I know it's definitely with Coach Staley. But a guy like Chris Rump, all of a sudden, yeah, and a part of the rotation, you look at his opportunity on special teams and all that. But here's a fifth-year veteran, and he's now with the Saints. Talk to the fans how much that comes into play, because, you know, we weren't familiar with Chris Rump being a Saints fan. You know, we know Cam Jordan, and then Chase Young comes on board. And then you look at Cam Jordan and all that. But, like, talk about to the fans, like, Chris Rump and his familiarity, what we're doing defensively, and someone you can trust and put on the defensive side of the ball.
I think anytime you have players that are versatile and can do more than one thing, that's a good thing. And so we obviously had some familiarity with Chris, you know, coming from the Chargers. You know, we drafted him there, had a lot of good edge rushers there at that time. And not only can this guy play on the edge and pass rush and run defend, but he has value in the special teams world that, you know, is hard to find. And so when you can create a lot of value, it gives you more opportunity to earn spots on the roster. And then in due time, you'll get more playing time on not only on defensive side, but also being that core teamer that he has the last 5 years.
And, Coach, we knew it was tough to start the year without Chase Young, but good gosh, in his five games back, six quarterback hits, three sacks. In fact, really the first time in his career, he's gone three consecutive games with at least a half a sack, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery. And I'm saving for last, which is the three PDs, because I feel like this guy is as close to an interception of plucking it out of the air as anybody I've seen. Just his impact, you knew he was good. You know, I mean, you know, guy was defensive player of the year, rookie of the year, you knew he was good, but the impact that he has, bull rushing and speed on the outside.
Well, he's got a tremendous skill set. And, you know, since he's been back, you know, you feel his presence in the pass rush. And so, yeah, I'd like for him to catch some balls too. I mean, he's been so close a couple times and, you know, he has had a really positive impact on the team. And, you know, he's done some really good things, you know, the last few weeks.
You know, Coach Rogers, fans have asked me, boy, seemed like, boy, he really came out with a big splash. That being Carl Granderson, you know, he has 4.5 sacks. I have him for 5.5 because how can that be a penalty? That was a sack. That wasn't a penalty. But he's been, you know, six tackles for a loss, six quarterback hurries. And like Hoss was saying, he had a couple of pass defended. But why he has not been able as of late to be able to finish on the quarterback? Has it been more assignment driven as far as finishing with sacks?
No, he's doing a really good job. He's got tremendous effort. He's a lot closer than maybe some of the numbers may say. But, you know, early in the year, he was getting a lot of playing time with Chase being down. And then on the other thing is, you know, after that first month of the season, I'm getting text messages from all over the country from coaching friends saying, who is this 96 guy? He's a problem. And so there have been some times where people have wanted to chip in the pass rush, or they'll run away from him or combination block him if he's at the play side. So, you know, he's doing a great job for us. You know, he's a heck of a worker, smart, very versatile. He can do a lot of different things for you. And, you know, his production, I think, has been good pretty much all year.
Now, Coach Rogers, what about, like, okay, your involvement in practice? I ask assistant coaches this all the time as far as how the practice is conducted. And, you know, you have practice squad players. They on and off the roster. And I thought that he caught everyone's attention in training camp, being a seven-round pick, Fidel Diggs, the defensive end out of Syracuse. How can you elaborate on him? Because it seems like a lot of upside for him.
Yeah, a lot of upside. You know, one thing you notice real quick when he enters the door, you know, he looks like a pro football player. So he has size, he has mass, he has length, he has athletic ability. You know, with Chase being down in the early part of the year, he got a lot of burn playing on special teams and on the edge. And so, you know, his arrow is pointing up for the future. You know, once
maybe he'll get up for a game. We don't know. We'll see how things play out throughout the course of the rest of the season. But, you know, he showed a lot of flashes early on, especially during training camp and some of those preseason games where he got valuable experience playing against real NFL football players. But, you know, just like all the rookies there are in the NFL, you know, that first year is different than college ball. Things move faster. Guys are bigger. They're stronger, and you know he's developing really well and giving some good looks when he isn't up on game day.
And Coach, you're from Austin, went to Westlake High School where Drew Brees went, and wouldn't be surprised if you get a call from the Westlake High School alumnus as he's broadcasting the game this Sunday for Fox, getting a few little nuggets here and there. We'll have to wait and see. But I was curious, this is your first year in New Orleans. You've been around the NFL many, many years, but you spent last year with Atlanta. So what, when you learned of this rivalry, you learned it from their end. What's their version of this rivalry?
Well, I've known about this rivalry for the last 25 years. You know, I married a girl from Louisiana, so I'm very much aware of this rivalry. So, you know, it's similar. I mean, this is one of those rivalries that is big in the NFL, and I think you don't realize until you've been a part of the game itself. You know, I've been a part of the Bears-Packers games and, you know, some of the Denver Broncos versus Chiefs game back in the day. And then you get to, you know, this region of the country in the Gulf South area, and, like, these are the two teams. And so it's very important to this region, this game, especially, you know, for the two sides.
You know, Coach Rogers, before we let you run, you know, I brought up Chris Rump and what it means. This always intrigues me when I look at a player who lasts in the league. And, you know, like you said, the more you could do. I look at two players right here. And Jonah Williams, fifth-year guy at Weber State. We got him, I think, in free agency from Detroit, from the Lions. And Jonathan Bullard, a 10-year veteran. You look at it from University of Florida. So what can you say, like, you pack a lunch and when you got guys like a Jonah Williams and Jonathan Bullard? Just elaborate on them a little bit.
You know, both those players have played on a couple teams in the NFL, and they show their value on their tape. And so, you know, you're always looking for people who can do more than one thing, who can play more than one position. And when you do it at a high level, people notice those things. And so you – 10 years in the league, that's a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment by any player. And that's where, you know, Jonathan Bullard, he was drafted, you know, when I was in Chicago. And so, you know, he's been a part of a couple of organizations, so has Jonah. And they develop a trust within the coaches in the league and, you know, gives them more opportunities to continue their career.
Well, Coach, again, we appreciate your time. So you left Westlake, then you went to Indiana, so you got to be having a lot of fun watching them. You also were a graduate assistant at LSU, and so you've got some history, and so watching things transpire all over. But we appreciate your time, and, man, just keep stacking those W's, and good things will happen.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Jay Rogers, edge rusher on the defensive line coach. Bobby, as always, my friend, lead us out. Give us something good to think about to beat them Falcons.
Well, Hoss, I didn't want to freak out a little bit, but I'm telling you, this is like a swag game. The Saints got to win it. We got to win it for the home folks in NOLA. I'm telling you. I've been there, done that. I've been on both sides, and I know we just got to come away with a win. And we got to do like Carolina, beat Atlanta twice. I think you'd be all for that.
I am all for that. And beat Tampa and beat Carolina. Just keep winning the games.
Imagine the Saints be 5-1 in the NFC South.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That would be. All right, my friend, as always.
All right, appreciate your time.
Thank you, Bobby. Take a break. We'll come back. We'll go right back. Switch mics and talk with Mike Dettillier. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. We do go back out to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi, where Mike Dettillier has taken over, college and pro football analyst. In the Monday night game tonight, it's tough. Dallas 3-5-1 against Las Vegas at 2-7. Dallas, of course, coming off that bye week and really dealing with the emotional, you know, situation with Marshawn Nealon. Lot going on there, but not the game I don't think that they had anticipated for Monday night.
Nope. You know, Nate, I think a lot of people in the league thought maybe Pete Carroll could come in here and kind of lay his hands on that Raider team, and they all better. Come on, you need players. And the Raiders don't have enough. And we see the highly erratic Geno Smith at quarterback, and that's been a big part of it. That, man, when he's good, he's good. But, man, he's had moments where he's been not real good. And so you can't always lean on Ashton Jeanty, which I thought, Mike, that would be a bigger part of their attack. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
When they picked him with that earlier pick, I know the way Coach Carroll feels about running the ball. I thought they'd lean on him much more. Hasn't been the case.
As we look at the NFC South, and so Tampa's lost two in a row. They're 6-4. They've lost two of their last three. Carolina, 6-5. They've still lost two of their last, two of their last five, I should say. They're 2-3 in their last five. And then Atlanta, 3-7, five losses. Saints, of course, 1-4 in their last five, 2-8. And I'm watching the Atlanta game against Carolina, and it's 21-19 Atlanta. There's 3 minutes to go in the game. They just got the ball on a turnover at the Carolina 38. Now, I know that they lose the game, and I'm going, it's 21-19. You got the ball. There's 3 minutes left. You're on their 38. I'm like, what in the world? This team with so much talent and in a much different situation. They're not a team of rebuilding. This was a team of expectations. And, man, this is a big one for the Saints because this is, Atlanta's good. They have good players, but they do not play well as a team.
Mike, my thing is that's Atlanta's issue. Saints got enough problems. But Atlanta right now, it's to gather an offense. And they've gotten away, I think, for what won for them. And that was the running game with Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier. I think they tried to structure an offense around Michael Penix Jr., and we've seen him ride the roller coaster. Now he's out at least 4 weeks with that knee bruise. And now you don't have Drake London, your top receiver. He's the one guy, other than Bijan, that you say, I got to stop. I can't leave him one-on-one with any cornerback. I got to get help. Now with no Drake London, man, I can go man-to-man. I can put a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins, and we've seen this since his Achilles injury. Mikey, his movement skills are super limited. He plays the game in a phone booth. He was never looked at as a runner, but he always had some movement skills to try to buy a little bit of time to throw the football downfield. Now, man, I'm coming at him, a lot of rush right up the middle, and try to blow up that launch pad of his. Penix always had enough mobility, could get away, but you don't see that in Kirk Cousins. Defensively, they hot and cold. Now, here's the crazy part. James Pierce, who they use next year's first-round pick on, that could potentially be a top-five pick. James Pierce is playing pretty doggone good for them. It's not him. It's the other guys on defense. Mike, they give up a ton of big plays in the secondary. They have a young secondary. Xavier Watts is back there, third-round pick. He was part of the deal with Pierce, in which now the Rams could potentially have a top-five pick. They've given up a lot of yardage via the air. And to think, look the numbers Bryce Young, who couldn't buy yards against the Saints. He threw for over 425 yards against Atlanta. Mike, that makes no sense. I will say this. Arthur Blank got a lot more patience than I do. Because in his other businesses, man, if you're not doing, well, I'm making a move, okay, when he was a co-owner of Home Depot. Now you look at this. He has went a long stretch now with Terry Fontenot as GM, Raheem Morris as the head coach. Mike, Jen Hale made a great comment when we had her on Tuesday about, Mike, I wonder if it all ended for them in Berlin. In that game against the Colts, it was all in. And she does the preseason games for the Falcons, knows the broadcasting crew, and she was like, I just wonder if maybe the Falcons season didn't end overseas. And look the effort that they put up against the Panthers, it was not good. I would have wanted to play the Atlanta this weekend. Man, that's why I would rather the bye week be 1 week away. Then you can get the bye week. I thought Panthers caught Atlanta at the right time. And again, I think you're catching them at the right time. Just take care of business.
Yep. And the one other player that surprises me on Atlanta is Pitts, Kyle Pitts. He seems unguardable. He had two catches for 14 yards. He almost gets invisible in their offense sometimes.
Well, that's design, because all we know is we watched him at Florida. He's one of the most dominant players. You look over the last 10 years in the SEC. He's one of the most dominant players to come out of the SEC when he was at Florida. I mean, you weren't covering him with no linebacker or safety. You had a cornerback on them. And yet he has had not even close to the type success that he's had at Florida with the Falcons. That's design, Mike, more than anything. And again, no Drake London. You might have to lean on Pitts quite a bit this coming Sunday when you play the Saints. But my thing is, stop the run, and I'll force Kirk Cousins to beat me throwing the football.
You betcha. As always, appreciate your time, Mr. Dettillier. Thanks
Thank
very
you,
much.
Hoss.
Mike Dettillier at the Silver Slipper, Hancock County, Mississippi. My thanks to Charlie Young in the booth tonight. It's the Saints and the Falcons. Need you say any more? Sunday, 3:25 in the afternoon. Drew Brees will be here calling the game for Fox. Big one, trying to get back-to-back wins in the NFC South. Thanks for listening to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore. We'll see you next week here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.